Love you today, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Sunday morning, 1:30, 22. The title of this teaching today is, Are You Plugged In? You know, we hear all this talk about everybody being plugged into the matrix. I'm talking about the things of God. Are you plugged in? We're going to see this morning as we advance. Sadly, so many spend most of their time on resources, trying to get healthy, faithful, physicals, doctor's visits at the first sign of anything, exercise regimes, reading up on the newest and the latest things to live a strong and healthy life. It, by the way, is a couple of devils, deep state ways to steal, kill, and destroy. Big Pharma among the biggest of them. I'm talking about the matrix and God's kingdom, the difference. Are we plugged into the kingdom of God, or are we plugged into the matrix? Now I want to read a few scriptures to you, a couple of them here in Revelation. The first one's going to be Revelation chapter 9. Chapter 21. I'll read 20. It says, And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk, neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. So that word sorceries, right there, means medication or magic. Right now, look at Revelation 18:23. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee, in the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For the merchants were the great men of the earth, Coca-Cola, Procter & Gamble, name any hundreds of corporations. We won't hear from them ever again if they don't repent of their sorceries and what they've done. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all the nations deceived. This is Big Pharma. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. They killed them by their sorceries. Big Pharma, medication, magic. They had won the trust of most of the world. All they did was dupe people with their magic potions and their witches' brew. Pharmakeia in the Greek means witchcraft. That's in Galatians, where it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. There are only two masters. You're either plugged into one or the other. You can straddle the fence, which most people do, but that's not the way it's supposed to be. That's what renewing your mind's about, is getting you off the fence. One is self-care and the other is casting your care on the Lord. There's nothing to fear. It is really only about what you believe about it. I kind of touched on this on the TV program this morning, just a little bit, got to the food thing. Satan's magic kingdom is all up in our faces, but God's kingdom, his source of supply, is from within. It's not an outward show, it's within. As the kingdom age approaches, this will be God's way for his people. Those of us who know how to use it will teach others how to use it. Got a lot of work ahead of us. I could probably tell you on one hand people that I actually know that probably use the word and walk it out. I mean, that's sad. I'm talking about personally. All right, Revelation 11:15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. This is God's way, and it will be the way of his people. Period. We've only got a few scriptures here, other scriptures here. Paul said this, 1 Timothy 4. Seven and eight. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. Jude 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. I noticed this week after the two-day TV shoot that I was not tired. I can't tell you the last time that I felt that way. That I just felt reamed out. And I've spent a lot of extra time praying in the Spirit. I know others have been praying for me too, and I could feel it. I could tell it. There was like a little extra, just that little extra that you need to get by. I remember Kathy Walters talking about she was going to go to a seminar somewhere and teach, and it was 10 hours away, so she had to pop a flight. And she'd broke out with something all over, and her husband said, well, maybe I'll go see what the doctor says about it since you've got this long trip and everything ahead of you. So she went, and he said, well, you've got shingles. And he said, well, in such and such a time, you're going to do this. And she said, I won't. And he said, and after this, you'll this. She said, I shan't. So anyway, she said she didn't take the medicine. She went home. Got ready, went to the airport, got on the flight, and she prayed the 10 hours. She said, they kept trying to offer me wine. And I can imagine she's probably over there praying in tongues, and they thought she was crazy. But when she landed, she was well. No sign of anything. We've been talking about the supply that's on the inside, that everything we need is right on the inside of us. It's learning to tap into it and not let the outward things overtake, overrule, cause us to react. See, that's Satan's game. He will try to keep you in the natural, trying to figure out, well, why am I going through this? Or, you know, what did I do wrong? Did I hurt somebody's feelings? This guessing game all the time. To me, that's not showing confidence in Christ. To me, there's times I think, like I've told you, the Lord just doesn't get on to me about things. Very seldom, ever. And I'll be danged, being done that way my whole life, am I going to go looking for it? He knows where I live. He knows where he lives in me. So if I need to change something, he can sure tell me about it. So I might as well be walking forth in confidence that I'm pleasing to him. So if something's not going right, then all I know to do is use what the weapons that God's given me to use to war a good warfare. Isn't that what this is all about? God's not going to accuse you. The devil, that's his full-time job. But God's not going to. So if you feel condemned about something, then I can pretty well tell you what master that is. Because he is the accuser of the brethren. There's an old psalm that we used to sing. There's a river of life flowing out of me, makes the lame to walk and the blind to see, opens prison doors, sets the captives free. There's a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up, O well, within my soul. Spring up, O well, and make me whole. See, we got to get up out of here, into here. Spring up, O well, and give to me that life abundantly. We've got a reservoir on the inside of us. In fact, the Lord helped me to see this week that the significance of speaking in tongues. When you're born again, I believe you do get the Holy Spirit, but when the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes, that's when that well comes out. That's what I think the Lord showed me. I don't know how to even put that in scripture, or even put scripture to it, but it was like that extra experience gets it from there to here, where we need it, where we can use it. It's got to come out. It can't just stay in there. It's got to come out. All right. When you accept, okay, I already said that to you. I'm going to read John 4 to you. This is John 4. It's a great chapter. Maybe I'll explain it to you about that living water. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. So Jesus walked from the inside, not the outside. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to drink, or to draw water. And Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou living water? Thou that living water. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? See, just everything's just outside. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The one that has this water won't thirst. Does that mean, okay, the person that has this water won't ever have to be sick? The person that has this water will never have to be poor. It's a supply. The woman said unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. He's demonstrating it right now. Go call your husband. This is ministry flowing from the inside of him out to this woman. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, and that sayest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. She was right. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. The hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So Jesus is talking about not the natural temple, not the building that they built, but he's talking about the temple where man will dwell in, or God will dwell inside of man. All right, I don't think you could worship the Lord any more than to hear his word from the inside and to do it. To me, that's worship. You do what he tells you to do. You move with him. All right, how was Jesus able to do it? He prayed all night at times and ministered all day. I want to just read to you one busy day in the life of Jesus. This is Mark chapter 6. Start with verse 1 there. And he went out from thence and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them, and he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went round about the villages teaching, and he called unto him the 12, and began to send them forth by two and two, and gave them power of unclean spirits, commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey, save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse, but be shod with sandals and not put on two coats. And he said unto them, In what place soever you enter into a house, there abide till you depart from that place. Whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear you, when you depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that city. And they went and preached that men should repent. They cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. And King Herod heard of him, for his name was spread abroad. And he said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. Others said that it is Elias, and others said that is a prophet or one of the prophets. But when Herod heard thereof, he said, It is John whom I beheaded. He is risen from the dead. For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, It is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him, would have killed him. But she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man, and holy, and observed him. And when he had heard him, he did many things, and heard him gladly. And when a convenient day was come, that Herod on his birthday made a supper of his lords, he captains and chief states of Galilee, and when the daughter of Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, Ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, I will give it to thee. And she sware unto him, Whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I will give it thee into half of my kingdom. And she went forth and said unto her mother, What shall I ask? And she said, The head of John the Baptist. And she came in straightway with haste to the king and asked, saying, What I will give thou that thou gave, sorry, I will that thou give me by and by in a charge of the head of John the Baptist. The king was exceeding sorry, yet for his own sakes and for their sakes, which he set with him, he would not reject her. And immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought. He went and beheaded him in the prison, and brought his head on a charger and gave it to the damsel, and the damsel gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard of it, they came and looked up, took up his corpse, and laid it in a tomb. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done, what they had taught. And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while, for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure, so much as not to eat. Now think about this. Constant on the move. Then they hear about the death of John the Baptist, and then before you know it, they're so tired, they just need a moment to themselves, but there's no moment to be had. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. The people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and out went them and came together unto them. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. He began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, This is a desert place, now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about, into the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. He answered and said unto them, Give ye them to eat. They're thinking, we're wore out. We just can't even put one foot in front of the other. And you want us to feed these people? And they said unto him, Shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? And he said unto them, How many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. When he had taken the 5 loaves and 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples set before them. And the 2 fish divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. And they that did eat the loaves were about 5,000 men. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he went sent away the people. When he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. Here's where his source. This was his source. You want to talk about source? People talk that, use that term loosely, source. It's whoever you believe in. No. This is where he got his supply. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. He saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. About the 4th watch of the night, he cometh unto them walking upon the sea, and would have passed them by. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out. For they all saw him, and were troubled. Immediately he talked with them, and saith unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered. For they considered not the miracles of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. And when they had passed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore. And when they had come out of the ship, straightway they knew him. And ran through that whole region round about and began to carry about in beds those that were sick, where they heard he was. And whithersoever he entered into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch, if it were, but the border of his garment. As many as touch him were made whole. Now think about it. When what comes down in this nation and people get a hold of the truth and they find a few people that know their stuff and they're walking it, they're not just talking it, this is the way it's going to be. Everywhere you look, there's going to be somebody wanting something, needing something. It's hard to imagine, isn't it? How was Jesus able to do it? He prayed all night at times and ministered all day. You do receive the Holy Spirit when you're born again. So what is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? It's the ability to have living water springing up out of you to show what you want to do and how to do it. To heal you, refresh you, and comfort you. It's our inner strength. You hear people talk about your core. You know, you need to build up your core. Well, they're talking about your body. We're talking about the spirit. You can have that other. All right, John 14. It's the spirit of a man that sustains him on a sick bed. John 14, 16 and 17. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I remember when I was a youth leader at a small church, and there was a young lady in the group, and she'd had some, I don't know if it was brain damage at birth or something, but she had some hard times in school just getting stuff. And Danny had led her in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I remember at a particular meeting we were having, I don't remember Danny being in there, but I was in there, and I was teaching the kids, and Lord just directed my eyes to her and looked right at her, and I just told her, I said, you're going to have to learn to bypass your mind and look inside. I said, the Holy Ghost has got the answer to everything that you need inside. If you learn to look inside, it will bypass any physical problem, mental problem that's in the way, and give you the wisdom that you need to do that problem or whatever it is you need to do. Hopefully she did it, I don't know. But it was just odd. It's like the Holy Spirit just directed my eyes and just fastened my eyes on her, and it just this began to flow out of me to her. And we don't need to be so limited by this flesh. And if you live out of your spirit, you're going to get it right. Not occasionally, but every time. All right, Satan tries to keep Christians and others just constantly chasing their tails. Anything to entice them away from the true riches that are right down on the inside of them. It does say, seek ye first the kingdom of God, then all these things shall be added unto you. I want to read you a few scriptures that Paul wrote by the Holy inspiration of the Holy Spirit. First one is 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Paul was one of those that he talked about the perplexities and the stress and all the things that plagued his life. But he said he was more than a conqueror. He was not down and out. All right, 1 Corinthians 14, 18. Here's what Paul said. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than ye all. There's the key to how Paul got through what he got through. Now you know. All right, Romans 8, 11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by his spirit that dwelleth in you. It's like having a spiritual battery inside. It recharges you from the inside out. I call it godly exercising, or Jude, building up your most holy faith, pumping iron in the spirit. It'll make everything strong on the outside. You know, most people focus just on the outside and hours and hours of pumping iron, going to the gym and doing all of these things. But if you quit doing it, you turn back to a flab or whatever. But not so in the spirit. But it will take care of the natural too, the inside. All right, 1 Corinthians 1, 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. This is all inside. We are complete. All of Satan's illusions are just enticements to get us away from the true source. Get us out of walking in the spirit and into the flesh. All right, Colossians 1:27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, he's not really asking us to do anything. He's asking us to let him do it in us. All right, he is in us, he has a plan, and he wants to work that plan out in you. It lines up perfectly with God's will. This is what Romans 8 says. Let's go to Romans 8. So many good scriptures. 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. A person that has an active prayer life, I'm talking about praying in the Spirit, they're going to have the will of God working in their life. That's where it all comes. That's how you find out what his will is. It's all in there. It's all in there. It's just a matter of praying. I remember talking to one of my daughters, talking about, well, I just never have had the Lord tell me to do anything, kind of, you know. And I said, until I was about 40 and I just really got active in my praying in tongues, I didn't know anything about anything. And I said, when I started doing that, I thought the Lord showed me stuff that I kind of sometimes wish I'd never known. But on the other side of that, I found out the will of God, knowing that I was supposed to be doing something my whole life, but then until I tapped into the supply, the source, God, I didn't know. And everything since then, that's how I received it. I don't know how people do it that don't. I don't. I really don't. Discipline yourself to waste. Don't waste your time on empty pursuits. I'm trying to make it a practice that if I'm just going to go fold clothes for 10 or 15 minutes, pray in the Spirit. Go take a bath, 20 minutes, pray in the Spirit. You don't have to make it a law, but it should become a natural part of who we are. All right, years ago, we had a pastor's wife, Pat Palmer, and she gets and tells a story about people were so mean to her in church and just treated her bad. So she had a lot of hurts and stuff. And she said she began to pray in the Spirit. And I don't know how long she prayed, but she said, I remember the day my head cleared the well. So that's what happens. We wall ourselves off to people. I've been around people. There's been only a couple that I can remember in all the years the Lord has used me to minister one-on-one to people. There's only been a couple that I have not been able to penetrate. It's like they're in a well or they're walled off. There's just no way getting in. A lot of it's because they've been hurt. They don't trust people, that kind of thing. But by praying in the Spirit, she was able to be healed of those wounds and her head cleared the well. And sometimes that's what's going on with us too. There's areas we just need to be healed. See, the Spirit helps our infirmities. He helps us get well. He helps us to have the right outlook, whether it's mental or physical, spiritual. He's our helper. All right. Beware of Satan's power drains and avoid them. Pray in the Spirit instead. Pray until your head clears the well. I'd like to read this to you. It was a little discouraging. But don't tell me I left it, the other part of it. Oh, here it is. Well, crud. I left the other part of it. In essence, it says. They did a survey. You know what? Just forget that. This is Brother Hagin. This was January's devotion. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God works from the inside out. Healing begins in your spirit. Even physical healing for your body begins in your spirit. God doesn't start on the outside and work to the inside. No, he starts on the inside and works to the outside. So don't look at the outside for physical healing. Look on the inside because that's where he'll begin working. And if you look on the inside, if you will yield to that something on the inside of you and not pay so much attention to your outward symptoms, you'll eventually look around for those symptoms and find they are gone. Once when death had come to fasten its final throes upon me, I started laughing in my spirit. It bubbled up and started rolling out of my mouth, and I was laughing in the face of death. The devil said, "What are you laughing at?" I said, "I'm laughing at you because you see you're going to have to leave. I'm not dying now. God's not through with me. I want you to know that." And the devil left. The Lord always begins working on the inside. You can know things on the inside that you don't see on the outside. You can know things in your spirit that your head can't comprehend. But because you know it in your spirit and believe it, you begin to say it. And because you say it, it will surely come to pass. Here's a good confession. It is God who is at work within me both to will and to do of His good pleasure. It is His will that I walk in health and be well, and He is working in my spirit, soul, and body. I know why this isn't up here, because I didn't bring the book. In essence, it's in the area of pastors. They're talking about how much do pastors pray. On average, in this survey, they pray about 20 minutes a day. A pastor. But I'm thinking, and we wonder what the problem is. Probably looking, well, that's going on in that church. I'm going to fly over there and see what they're doing. See if I get a hold of that like a live wire. Isn't that the way it's been in the church? Pretty well. This meeting, that meeting. Oh, I want to go to that one down there. They got a healing anointing. Maybe I'll get healed. Is it supposed to be that way? No, it's not. Anyway, it made me sad to think that pastors, he was talking about the pastors come under a big ton of attack because they have so many people that they're usually associated with. And he talked about the high immorality rate among pastors, talking about being unfaithful to their wives or husbands. I'm thinking, I bet you it's praying in the spirit, you wouldn't be experiencing that if you were praying. But I got so many obligations. I got to go here, the mayor's breakfast, and I got to go here, counsel with this one, and I got to go do this funeral, and I got to go do this, and I got to do that. And that gets in the way, and the minister has no time personally for God. That's easier for me to say now, but a day will come, maybe that won't be the case. You'll have to fight for that time, but the thing is, you best fight for it because that's the most important thing there is. You better be getting your instructions out of here about what God wants you to do instead of letting this one pull you and that one pull you. All right. Danny had a personal word. It was on 11/16/21. And one of the portions was about there would be a time would come that you'd feel like you had an inner strength or just more of a something added, that things would not be like they had been. And this last week, I was telling you, I sensed that for the first time, I guess in 10, 12 years, that maybe something is not bothering me so much as it normally bothers me. Or I've got the strength to do something. I'm not just laying on the floor like a wet noodle. That's that Holy Spirit inside strengthening. Maybe it's just a revelation of this and coming up higher. You know, we're so much thinking this big boom thing's going to happen, everything's going to change. Maybe not. I think it's more learning to walk more fully in the way of the Spirit, drawing upon Him because He's there to strengthen us and to help us. All right. We see here that even church leaders will admit that they are not spending the proper time to tap into that river and receive what they need for their people, and we wonder why the church is in the state it is in. Here's a final note. Get out of the habit of looking for your supply out there. It's in here. Look inside, for there is where it lies. Okay. Proverbs 4. 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, but far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Then it talks about, attend to my wisdom. 5:1. See, this is that inside walk. This is what we tune into. This is the thing that sets our life. This is what we walk. We don't do anything without the counsel of God inside of us. This is a little line the Lord gave me. Focus on the inside, for this is where your supply abides. And this is what I typed out here. Since I came into the Spirit-filled life, I have observed people running here and there, going to meetings of other people that have tapped into God's power in some way. They go hoping that they will be healed and that they might receive wisdom about a certain situation. One leader has a revelation. They all flock to their place. What's wrong with this picture? They never learn to hear from God for themselves, but are always depending on other people to help them out, to hear from God for them. That works for a while, but there comes a time that God expects them to hear for themselves. It's time for the church to know just how much power and supply they have within. With God's help, we will teach as many that will listen this truth. Colossians 1:27. Christ in me, the hope of glory.